The scripture reading is Ezekiel chapter 47, verses 1 through 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough for water to swim in, a river that could not be forded.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending a service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences. Beginning today, I will deliver the sermon series, God Measures Our Faith. To measure is to estimate or appraise by a criterion or standard for decision or judgment. But faith is not a visible object. Then how can we measure faith? We can measure it with a criterion called the Word of God. On the judgment day, each person will receive the verdict about salvation and the rewards. What if you receive the verdict that you have insufficient faith to receive salvation? Therefore, we should measure our faith precisely so that we will not be lacking in faith to receive salvation at the court of judgment. Having vague notion thinking, "I guess I will receive salvation," is not how to meet that day. Luke 18:8 says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The Bible mentions the last days, but when the Son of Man comes is different from the last days. Last days is between the first coming of the Lord until the second coming of the Lord. So when the Son of Man comes here, it is the second coming of the Lord in the air. It is about right now, today. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's really difficult to find faith on this earth. Even in our church, we have so many signs and wonders, and you are seeing, you are experiencing so many works of God. But many times you forsake your faith. Also, you commit the sins leading to death, which means you don't have faith. And think about the churches where they don't have any signs and wonders. How can they believe? As our Lord said, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. So in the churches where they see nothing, how can they really believe? And now is a time that is ever so near to the Lord's coming again. It's very difficult to find faith that is in accordance with the Word of God. Now can you confidently show your faith before the Lord, saying you have a certain amount of faith? There are many people who cannot really show any faith when they have to. This morning, there was a person who got burned 60%. And the person went to the hospital. Of course, I think he's a new believer. So I asked, how about the pain? He's in great pain. And our pastor prayed for him with a handkerchief, but he's still suffering from the excruciating pain. And I was thinking, he must have heard many times that if you receive prayer with faith, the heat, the burning sensation, even the third degree burn, even whole body, they must have heard so many times, they must have seen so many testimonies that all these things were healed by the power of God. But when they don't have faith, they go to the hospital and he'll take surgery, and the surgery it is so painful, and in case of burns it doesn't heal very well. It'll take many years. Also, he will have all the scars. And if he had just a little bit of faith, he'd have received a prayer by faith. But because he doesn't, this is happening. So since the opening of the church, this is the second time I hear that a person went to the hospital after a burn. There was a woman who got burned and who went to the hospital because of the husband, but she suffered so much. And right now she doesn't attend church, our church anymore. And her elder sister is still here. But anyway, if you rely on God, you can be healed without suffering from any pain. But if you go to the hospital, in this case, he will have to suffer so much. And this is when we can measure our faith. We can measure our faith when we face trials and tests. Can we really give thanks and pray and rejoice in tests and trials? You should not just have sufficient faith to receive salvation. You should have the faith to be able to boldly say that you long for a beautiful New Jerusalem. For this, you should not have an ambiguous attitude about your life of faith. Many parts of the Bible tell us the standards of salvation. They tell us the kind of faith that will save us. Beginning today, we will go over it once more, and I hope you will check your faith. I pray in the name of the Lord that in doing so, you will have sure faith so that you will go to the way of heaven with hope and expectations and not with fear or worries. Before the opening of the church, I was talking with the theological college students, my classmates, and most of them were saying they would find out when they die whether they could go to heaven or hell. It means they didn't believe. They didn't believe in heaven and hell. And with this kind of faith, you can never be saved because it is doubting faith. It is not really faith. So with this having doubt, you can never be saved. If you say you'll find out when you die, you'll already be in hell. You'll end up in hell, and you cannot reverse it. So you must not have that kind of faith. So in your Christian life, you should know what kind of faith you have, and you should know to which heavenly place you will go when God calls your spirit right now. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is there anybody who thinks as follows? Senior pastor, many believers last year repented of fundamental sins and gained the faith to receive salvation. Moreover, it's a time of blessing when we have Canaan sanctuary right in front of us. So why are you delivering this message now? We can find the answer in Deuteronomy. Moses proclaimed the word of God in front of the sons of Israel just before they made their entrance to the Canaan land. Deuteronomy 1:5 says, "Across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying, so he preached the word of God in the land of Moab. The record of what he spoke is the content of Deuteronomy. This was 2 months before they went to the Canaan land, just after the army of Israel defeated two kings, namely Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan. The soldiers had high morale and the people were filled with expectations. At this point, what kind of message did Moses deliver to them? Did he proclaim blessings saying, "You will go into Canaan land and enjoy the blessings of God"? No, he didn't. Instead, he clearly taught them the ways that they could enjoy blessings and the ways that they could receive curses when they entered into Canaan land. Looking back on the process of the Exodus, he explained about the commandments of God. The most important thing at that time was that all the people had the qualifications necessary to be chosen and holy people of God. They were trained in faith for 40 years in the wilderness, so they passed a test. They were qualified. But Moses was still preaching this kind of message. Israel is a nation that was established upon a covenant with God. God promised them that he would give them the Canaan land flowing with milk and honey. God surely fulfills his promises. I always talk with the workers around me that how God has fulfilled all his promises. There are many things that I cannot explain on the altar. God made us this promise and he fulfilled it. There are so many things, and I always talk with the church workers. And God is so precise and accurate. He is accurate even on the date and hour. Year, the month, the best day, best hour. So I always expect something on special days, special blessings of God. But he could do it only when the people kept the law of God, namely his commandments. There are many promises of blessings, but how much blessing have you received? Last year, there were many promises that God would give you blessings, but did you actually receive them? God can bless us only when we keep the law of God, namely his commandments. Suppose somebody is sick and what kind of medicines are good for this kind of disease. You know what kind of herbal medicines are good for this disease. You know somebody is explaining to you. So it is plausible and you know it, so you believe it. So you will recover, right? If you know it. You can recover only after you take it. Only when you actually take the medicine you can recover. Knowing it, believing it, will not give you health back. You know, this way you can be healed by the power of God. But if you don't keep the words of God, the commandments, it's no use. Even no matter how much I tell you, this is the way of blessing, this is the way to be healthy. Even last year I taught you so many principles, but how much of those principles have you kept? Uh, Only then could God acknowledge them as chosen people and fulfill his promises. Namely, he would be able to give them the Canaan land as their inheritance and let them reside there enjoying blessings. Moses knew this fact very well, and with an earnest heart he once again taught the people the many statutes, including the Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 4:40 says, "So you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time." So if you keep the commandments, you will receive blessings, and your descendants, your children, will receive blessings, and you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you. People accepted the message with an amen, and eventually they conquered the Canaan land through the help of God. When Moses emphasized that they could receive blessings only when they kept all the statutes and commandments of God. And while they kept the law of God, they enjoyed stability and richness in the land. Our church is also entering a time of blessing, in which the foundations of the Canaan sanctuary are being laid. So I hope you will check yourself once again, being on the alert. Our church, when we go into the Canaan sanctuary, will save countless souls like a myriad of stars and greatly accomplish the kingdom of God. We will also receive abundant blessings given by God, just like the sons of Israel received their land according to each tribe and family. Blessings will go to not only the church as a whole, but also to you individually. Once we build the Canaan sanctuary, blessings will go to you individually. But once we go into the Canaan sanctuary, God will give you blessings pressed down, shaken together, and running over, and 30, 60, 100 times more, according to your deeds, according to how much you have sown and how much you have acted. Of course, it's not only after we go into Canaan sanctuary. He gives us even before, but after we go into Canaan sanctuary, he will surely and definitely give you blessings in your hands so you can really give testimonies. God will certainly give you back according to how your soul prospers and how much you have sown and acted before God. But if you do not have the sign that you are God's child, namely the faith to receive salvation, what would this blessing mean to you? In this case, God cannot bless you either, but even if he does, it would only be like a curse on those people. You might mistakenly think that you have the faith to receive blessings, and then idly lead your life of faith without continuing to work at it. Also, if you receive financial blessings when you don't have faith, you might even commit sins rather than giving thanks to God and being faithful to him. None of our church members should fall into this category. Last year, many of you were forgiven of unforgivable sins by the limitless mercy and compassion of God. But to my surprise, there were many people, including many students, who said they didn't know the things they were doing were sins leading to death. I explained to you in so much that what are the sins that lead to death and which sins are not leading to death. Many of the repentance letters, they were telling me they couldn't listen to the word of God preached on the altar. They were filled with idle thoughts. They were daydreaming and they were dozing off because Satan was blocking their ears to listen to the message because they were living in sins. While they were committing sins, they couldn't listen to any of these messages of blessing. They couldn't even realize anything. They said that they weren't able to hear the word of God that was being preached while they were committing sins. But now they can hear it from the time that they were forgiven of their sins by God's grace. So I felt a strong need to teach you the cutoff line for salvation as your shepherd. I hope you will understand very clearly of the qualifications of salvation through this opportunity. The pastors and workers, they should also understand this so thoroughly. In this case, what is the answer? In that case, what is the answer? You shouldn't be confused about any case. If you give a wrong advice, or if you preach a wrong message, it is not acceptable. You might cause happiness or unhappiness of a family, so you cannot just carelessly give any kind of advice. I hope you will cast off all the deeds that are not in accordance with the Word of God right now, before we go into Canaan Sanctuary. You should be very careful in your advice, giving your advice and counseling. There was a believer who was telling me, "Senior Pastor, she's being persecuted by her husband so much. Her husband is threatening her with a knife. He hits her. So when she consults with the pastors, they ask her to just endure it. So she has been enduring until now, thinking that it is the will of God for such a long time. But even now, even today, he's still the same. Where in the Bible says something like that? So if you understand, misunderstand, you keep her in the sufferings. If she's still suffering, if she suffers too much, she might even leave the church. She might even lose her faith, salvation. You can give her happiness, but you put her in misery for such a long time. So I urge you to cast off the unwillingness to obey the commandments. Of course, while we were preparing for the Canaan Sanctuary, your faith increased very much. And as we now have faith, it's not difficult for us to build the Canaan Sanctuary and furthermore, construct the Grand Sanctuary. We can just keep on marching forward. But do not relax, but have the sign of being a child of God in you. That sign is faith. I hope you will keep the commandments with faith and enjoy complete blessings as we go into the Canaan Sanctuary. Furthermore, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will enjoy eternal blessings in the heavenly kingdom in New Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, the book of Ezekiel is the book of prophecy that Ezekiel recorded after seeing visions and hearing spiritual things. God showed Ezekiel the things to come for Israel and its neighboring countries. So Ezekiel prophesied the punishments that would be inflicted upon Israel and the neighboring countries for their sins. He also prophesied the recovery of Israel. From chapter 40 of the book of Ezekiel, it records in great detail about the temple that Ezekiel saw in a vision. Today's reading passage is the water flowing out from under the threshold of the temple. Ezekiel saw the water flowing out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east and flowing down from the right side of the house from south of the altar. He was guided by the way of the north gate and led around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east, and water was trickling from the south side. Water, spiritually, symbolizes the Word of God. sometimes you may have many dreams of water. Sometimes you have clear, pure water pouring down, flowing down. And maybe it can be a sea or a river, and you swim as much as you like. And you don't know how to swim, but in your dream you swim very well. So you feel very happy. And sometimes you try to swim, but you can't. And you know how to swim in real life, but in your dream you are about to drown and you can't really swim. Sometimes some people, they are in some dirty water, or some still others, they have very little water, so they can't really wash properly. If you can really swim in clear water as much as you want, it's such a good dream. Some people, they try to wash themselves or swim in some dirty water, but the water is dirty. It means they are befriending the world, and they are ignoring the word of God. Also, if the water is too little, so little, then it means they don't read the Bible, they don't listen to the messages, they just forget about what they heard in the sermons, and they just ignore the word of God. So if you see the water in your dream, you can check your faith, the measure of your faith, what kind of Christian life you are leading. Therefore, the water coming out from the temple means that God's word preached in the temple goes out to the outside of the temple, to the whole world. Today, temple is the church that is body of the Lord. God's word is preached in the church. God's children gather in the sanctuary, listen to the word, and worship God. When God's word does not remain in the church alone, but flows out to the world, changes take place in the world. Therefore, the believers must not just keep the word to themselves as knowledge, but deliver it to the world. Also, they should not just practice the word in the church, but also in the world, namely at home, schools, or workplace. Last week, May 5th, you were preaching out on the streets, and those who were out there, they were telling me that they were so happy. The college mission, they went to Yoido Park. The Mary's mission, they were also in Yoido. Paul's mission, they at different places. Canaan mission, they went to the Seoul station, on an amusement park. There was a call from the Yoido police station. They're delivering newsletters. Even to the police station, and the police officer said he liked it. They came to the police station also, and he was happy about it. Probably he likes our church. Then life is able to sprout in the world that is like a parched desert. The word delivered by you believers is the light in a dark world. To fulfill the word in Isaiah 11:9 that says, For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The believers have to cover the world with the water of life, namely the Word of God. In order to do this, you first have to be completely immersed in this water of life, the Word of God. I will explain the meaning in detail later, but it means that our faith has to grow up to the full measure of the Christ. From verse 3 of today's reading passage, we see that the water gets deeper and finally becomes a river. Here, someone with a line in his hand measured 1,000 cubits, and he led Ezekiel through the water. When Ezekiel first crossed the water, it reached his ankles. Then the man measured 1,000 cubits once again and led Ezekiel through the water, and it reached his knees. Next, the water reached his waist, and finally, it became a river that Ezekiel could not ford. What is the meaning of this scene? This scene symbolizes the Great White Throne Judgment, where the Lord will measure the faith of each one and give the judgment. Here, the man with the line in his hand refers to a messenger of the Lord. Measuring the 1,000 cubits with a line is the act of measuring the faith of each believer. The messenger of the Lord will measure the faith of each one accurately and without any error. The depth of the water that Ezekiel forded after the measuring of the messenger of the Lord symbolizes the measure of faith. The ankle height is the first level, the knee is the second level, and the waist is the third level of faith. The river that has risen above the head is the level of spirit, fourth level of faith or higher. You must be measuring your faith by yourself to check whether you are in the first level or second level or third level or fourth or fifth level of faith. Are you measuring your faith? When you come to me, I ask them. They're not confident. I ask them what level of faith they're in, and they are not confident in answering. I'm asking them how much in the depth of spirit have they have gone into, and they can't really answer confidently. I ask only those who can really confidently answer, but they don't answer. It's not so difficult. So I hope you can measure it correctly. You should know your measure of faith so you can understand whether, suppose in a mountain climbing, whether you're in the midway, in the middle of the mountain, or whether you came three-thirds, or you have another ridge to tackle, or you should know where you are at and how much more you have to go. So if you just keep going and going and going, but you don't see the peak and you're so tired, and climb another hill, but there's another hill. Once again, you see that it looks like that is the highest point, but after you go up to that hill, there's another hill higher that is higher, another mountain that is higher, but it keeps on coming and coming. So you get so tired. But if you know how many hills you have to climb, and exactly where you're at, you don't get as tired. And also, you should not misunderstand. You should not mis- you should not make a mistake in judging your level of faith. Suppose you are in the fourth level of faith, then you don't have any form of evil. That is the fourth level of faith. Because you don't have any evil, it cannot even, no evil can come out. Those who don't have evil, when they see only something good. Adult material, unimaginable. They see, they hear only good things. They speak only good things. Because they don't have evil, they cannot speak any evil words. Because they have only goodness, they can speak only words of goodness. Even somebody is, they're talking about somebody, they are slandering somebody. And if you try to listen to them, that it means you are not in the spirit. If you are in the spirit, you don't try to do that. You don't want to listen to such a talk, such a conversation. If somebody is telling you, then you will listen. But you don't try to overhear something. You don't try to listen to anything that is not good. And you speak only good words. Those who make mistakes in their words, they said this. They always live like that. They live like that throughout the year. All throughout the year. That kind of person, how can they go into the third level of faith? They can't even go into third level of faith. They always make mistakes in their words. They always change their words. At around after midnight, half an hour after midnight, around 12:30 at night. Suppose there is a question. What are you gonna do tomorrow? Suppose that day is the fifth. Somebody asks them, what are you going to do tomorrow? Actually, it's today. They should be talking about today. Oh, I'll do this and that tomorrow. It's after midnight, so you have to be talking about today. But you say tomorrow. So you ask them, say again, not today, tomorrow, or today? Yes, I will do this and that tomorrow. I try to let them realize that it's after midnight and the day is already past, and they still don't understand. So I asked them once again, what time is it now? Oh, they say it's 12:30. Oh, then they realize, oh, today. Some people are like, say that, or they say, oh, it's 12:30, and still they don't understand. They don't realize it. They don't realize the fact that the day has already passed, changed. So their conception about the day is not so clear. Also, there was a team of, they don't say anything. A team of 9 members, and they weren't saying anything much. And one of them said they wouldn't say anything with the fear that they might make mistakes with their words. So they can't really say anything, being afraid that they might give irrelevant answers. Those who give irrelevant answers, they do that because they don't have truth in their heart. If they have truth in their heart, they will answer whatever the superiors ask them. Because they are not truthful, they try to say something with their thinking. They just try to find a way out or something. Or you will just give straight answer. If you are a criminal, at the judgment court, the judge asks if you didn't commit any crime, you will just honestly say everything. But those who committed a crime, they cannot be straightforward. They try to see a way out. They think so much in their brain to find a way out with their words. So if you go into spirit, it is very easy to measure. And third level, it is also easy to measure. You don't commit any works of the flesh. So third level is easy. And there is also, if you reach 60% of the third level, you are on the rock of faith. But if a person who is at the third level of faith, if he commits some works of flesh, it means he's going back to the second level of faith, even though it's not sins leading to death. If he does any work of the flesh, if somebody is making him angry and he hits that person, it means he is in this first or second level of faith. According to the magnitude of that sin, he can be either in the first level or second level of faith. But if you're in the third level of faith, you cannot hit anybody. You cannot kick anybody. You cannot curse anybody. If you are just in the third level of faith, if you curse, it means you are still in the second or first level of faith. And if you commit sins leading to death, then it means you don't have any faith. You are nowhere. That is why you commit sins leading to death. If you have faith as small as mustard seed, you cannot commit any sin. You cannot commit sins. But if you commit the works of the flesh, sins leading to death, it means you don't have any faith. You might say, oh, I believe everything. I know, and I believe everything. I know what sin is, righteousness, and judgment is. And I know the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe the way of salvation. I believe in Jesus Christ. But that is not real faith. That is just knowledge. That is not really believing. You always hear the messages. So you always hear, so you know. That is just knowledge. It is not spiritual faith that God wants. It is not faith to receive salvation. That is why you commit sins. The elders and this side, if you just walk in the light, according to the word of God, you'll all be rich within a couple of years. You'll all be rich within a couple of years. You cannot be so. Because you don't live, you don't walk in the light. You always suffer, you always have hardships. Just analyze your situation with the word of God. Analyze yourself. How much of darkness you have in your life. Suppose you have something on your foot in the street, and it is a big piece of gold. And you see that you try to look around. That is far away from the third level of faith. You try to look if anybody is looking. And if you pick it up, and the owner must be suffering so much in the heart. And if you want to return it to the owner right away, it means you don't have any desire to steal, or you don't have any selfish desire, so it means you are close to fourth level of faith. But only with that you cannot say you are in the fourth level of faith. But we can still say you are close to fourth level of faith. No matter how poor you are, you find this kind of big piece of gold. Nobody's looking. And yet, you return it, try to return it to the owner right away. If you are in the fourth level, or if you're close to the fourth level of faith. But if you don't have this kind of mind, if nobody's looking and if you want to take it, then it means you are in the second level of faith. or beginning of third level, because you want to steal. Of course, you didn't directly steal, but if you pick up something on the street, you want to take it, you want to keep it. It's same as stealing. If you could, you would steal. And if you commit sins leading to death, it means you don't have any faith, because it leads you to death. So you should be able to discern among all these cases. How come you don't know where you're at, what kind of faith you have, unless you are new believers? Since December 25th last year, God the Father is saying, on your important day, there are important days that you have to remember, like Foundation Day and Opening Day. There are meaningful days. And meaningful days, the day I accepted the Lord, April 17th, and my birthday. And more than above all those things, there is a day that is May 15th of 1998. That is the day you have to remember. Also, December 25th last year is also the day you have to remember. Of course, before, God gave us forgiveness. And also once in a New Year's service, and that kind of days, you have to remember, because they are important days. They are the days on which God gave us great, great blessings. The sins leading to death cannot be forgiven according to the justice. And even God cannot forgive us. But with this and that, we came to be forgiven. We came to have the forgiveness. So how thankful it is if you are forgiven. You should be shedding tears every day, at least for a couple of years. You are saved. You are going to hell, and you are saved from hell. So you must be so thankful. And are you living like that? And if you are like that, you will never miss Daniel prayer meetings. You'll always give thanks with tears. And you are destined to fall into hell, and you are saved. And you must be so happy and thankful. Are you giving that much thanks? In the morning, I met with some people whom I thank for. A family of an elder. The elder, the wife, and the daughter, three of them came. And they came in shedding tears, and they left shedding tears, and even while talking, they were shedding tears. They prepared some offering, 20 million won, about $20,000. They violated the word of God at one point in time, and they came to have a difficult time. They had debt about 100 million won, and about $100,000. So I think it was about 5 years ago. So I helped them with $20,000. Somehow they paid all their debts, the bank loan and the other debts, and they paid all their debts. And now they came back to me to pay me back for what I helped them before. It was caused by the mistake of the daughter, and they were shedding tears all throughout the meeting. When I help you, I don't want to receive it back. I never think of receiving it back. And why do you bring it here? And they were saying, we are so thankful that you helped us. We didn't want to receive it at that time, but because you gave it to us anyway, we had to receive it. But we made up my mind to pay it back when we got our situations got better. So after 4 years, now they paid back everything, and now they came to pay it back. Now she's the daughter is also studying the master's while working, and they paid all the debts. So now they receive blessings. And she studied hard, and she received a lot of scholarships. So I never asked them back, asked them to give back anything, but it is also a blessing for them. Anyway, so I accepted it. I helped so many people, but it's very difficult to find such people. They don't even thank me. They don't even say thanks. But they try to pay it back with their thanks. And now the daughter is, now they're attending, is studying the masters. And the mother and father, they were all shedding tears because of thanks. They lived with thanks. So if you were forgiven of sins, you shouldn't be just thankful for a couple of years. You should be thankful. Until the Lord comes back, you are destined to fall into hell because of your own sins, and you're saved. And how thankful you must be. And yet, there are people who commit sins, who forget this kind of grace, who commit sins leading to death. And I feel so sorry for them. I know their, I understand their heart. They must be suffering so much in heart because Satan is working on them. They must be so nervous, so afflicted, and they are regrettable. They're regretting so much, and they're afraid. They're always filled with fear. So when I see their faces, I feel very sorry for them. But they can't really do anything. They still commit sins. They know that they shouldn't be doing it. They know it is the way to hell, but they still commit sins. Once your heart is given to Satan, you suffer this much. You must never give your heart to Satan. If you give your mind and if you give your thoughts, it means you are selling your spirit to Satan. Selling your spirit to Satan, the master of sins. So please attend this mini crusade this evening after evening service. If you sell your spirit, you can never get it back. There is no way you can get it back. Because the Lord was crucified. He redeemed us from our sins, and he bought us with the price of his blood. And by the grace of God, we were brought back to God's side. Once we are bought, what we have to march towards heavenly kingdom. Before we accepted the Lord, we didn't know the truth, so we were just committing sins. We were selling our souls to Satan by committing sins, but now we know the truth. Our soul was recovered. Our spirit was recovered by the price of the blood of the Lord. So we must never sell our spirit again. Because we know the truth now. We know that we must not do it. It is the way of death. And yet they still commit sins and sell their spirit to Satan. And finally they commit sins leading to death. So they completely sell their spirit to Satan. Then you cannot, there's no way you can get it back. Because God, the Holy Spirit, can't help you. The angels can't help you. That is why there is no way to get it back. But there's one way. There's one way you can receive salvation. Should you just skip it because of time? You will not commit sins leading to death, will you? The only way, it's just like if you fall down, if you remain in the 7-year tribulation, if you deny the Lord, you will fall into hell. And if you do not deny until the end, if you become a martyr, if you are martyred, you will receive a shameful salvation. But it's not easy to be martyred. There's no help from God. There's no help from the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be taken up to heaven at the second coming of the Lord. So there is no Holy Spirit on this earth at work. And there's no angel to protect you. And you have to do everything by your own will. Only with your willpower you have to become a martyr to receive salvation. But at that time, the death will flee. And you cannot really die. If you are tortured so much, you have to die. But in the 7-year tribulation, even with the severe tortures, you cannot really die easily. So you get tortured for 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Even with the torturing, they can kill you. You will not die. That is why it says the Bible says the death will flee. So you will be tortured for such a long time. That's why it's not easy to be martyred. You know it is the way to hell if you deny the Lord, but you cannot endure. Bear with the tortures, and finally you will deny the Lord. And it's just like this. It's just like being a martyr. There's no help from God or the Holy Spirit. There's no angels helping you. And how can you receive salvation? You have to cut off all the worldly things, and you have to live a holy life with your strong willpower, and you have to go into spirit. You have to cast off all forms of evil and go into spirit. If you become a man of spirit, God will say, acknowledge you as true children. That is the only way to receive salvation. But the problem is, Satan will not just leave you to live by the word of God to cast off sins. Satan will try all the best to tempt you, deceive you, to commit more and more sins. That is why it is hard. In the millennium kingdom, all the enemies, Satan, will be confined in the abyss. So they will not commit sins. Even the man of flesh, they will not commit sins. It is enemy, devil, and Satan who make us sin. And you don't even know this fact. You think you are the one who is committing sins, but it is actually enemy, devil, and Satan who is controlling your thoughts and actions to commit sins, to sell your spirit to enemy, devil. So as you obey the devil, you are the son of the devil, and it is same as selling your spirit to the devil. And if you conclusively, decisively commit the sins leading to death, it means completely you sold your spirit. So the river that has risen above the head is the level of spirit, the fourth level of faith or higher. Why does God categorize the levels of faith according to the depth of the water? We can see a clue from the fact that water spiritually means God's word. The reason is God's word is the standard of measure by which each one's faith will be measured. John 12:48 says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings," especially those who commit sins leading to death, these people are the ones who reject the Lord. They don't receive the word of God. If they receive it, they will live by it. So those who and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Nobody can escape from this judgment, and you will pay even to the last penny, whether big or small, any kind of anything. Nothing will disappear. You'll be judged for it, even to the last penny. Everything Jesus said on this earth is the word of God. John 12:49 says, "For I did not speak on my own initiative." Jesus did not speak his own thinking, his own thoughts, ideas. But the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak. As spoken, he proclaimed only the word that God commanded him to speak. When I deliver the message, some people say, "Oh, you meant for me, right? Those who are close to me. It was about me, right? Why would I talk about that particular person in front of so many congregation? I'm not thinking of that person when I say that. I think about so many people. I speak for so many people. But if it also applies to many other people, not just that person. It is that Holy Spirit reminds me to speak something. It's not about only one person. I don't try to think about this or that to say in the sermons. It just all comes instantly, spontaneously. My note, the writing, the note I have is only for 20 minutes if I read it slowly. But I preach for more than an hour. The other 45 minutes, I just speak whatever God is giving to me, spontaneously. So what I feel sorry about is, I also want to finish worship services quickly, but I cannot really control it. I know, if I finish it quickly, it is comfortable for me too. Because I am always in a hurry after the first morning service, second morning service, and I'm always in a hurry until I go back home. So I've never eaten lunch, the noodles, at comfort. Because I'm always in a hurry. From early morning and until 9 p.m., I don't even have time to go to the bathroom. So when I go to the bathroom, I just have to finish everything quickly, and I can't even finish one full bowl of noodles. I just eat half of it, and if I finish it a little early, we'll have some time. But it's not only me. All the congregation is having a hard time because of me, one person. It's the same with the branch churches. In lunchtime, you have to wait in a line, and you have to hurry yourself to have the meeting and also to come back for the evening service. Sometimes in summer, you have to wait in the hot weather. In winter, in cold weather, you have to hurry. And because of me, one person, everything has to be in a hurry. And even after evening, you're busy. You have to wrap up everything, and you have to attend Daniel prayer meeting. I know your situations, but I cannot really control it myself. Because God the Father is giving me, pouring down on me, the words to deliver to you, and I don't want to miss any of those things. Everything that the word, every word that God is giving to me is our life. And I can't really just refuse all the inspiration. If I just refuse all these things, then we can save a lot of time. But I don't want to miss this word of life. That is why, even though we are in a hurry. I have to, I keep on delivering the messages. So the words that God is giving to me, you shouldn't think it's my word. It is the word given by the Holy Spirit, all the parables and examples. Jesus delivered to the people only the will of God. On the judgment day, everybody will be judged according to the word of God. The judgment day is the day to settle the account on the measure of each one's faith. And the standard to measure each one's faith is the word of God. A good conscience, morals, or other theories or philosophy cannot become the standard. We have to be very clear on this. We have to check our faith solely according to the word of God. Then, what did Jesus preach to us while he was on this earth? John 12:50 says, I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. His commandment is eternal life. He gives us eternal life. If we violate his commandments, the opposite outcome, there'll be opposite outcome, hell. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. There's no addition or subtraction. It's just as the Father has told me. So in the mini crusade, we listen to the testimony of Angelica. The Lord also advised her, just deliver according to exactly what you heard and what you saw. So she just delivered it exactly what she heard and what she saw. That is why it is in accordance with all the words that I've been preaching. It's exactly the same as if we talked to each other first. I always deliver the word of God as it is. As recorded, he talked to us about the way to eternal life, the way of salvation. He clearly stated that there would be the final judgment and heaven and hell. He taught us exactly how we can be saved according to the word of God. He taught us in detail about what sin is and that we have to cast off sins and become holy children who resemble God. He proclaimed only the word of truth and goodness. Those who believe in the Lord believe that all his words are true. They also follow them because they believe they are true. As James chapter 2 verse 22 says, you see that faith was working with its works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Faith is accompanied by deeds. So the faith without deed is dead. There is the word of God given to us, but if you don't practice the word, it is dead faith. And if you commit sins leading to death, you don't have any faith. You're not even close to the faith as small as mustard seed, because you don't have any faith at all. For this reason, for the final judgment, God measures how much each person has lived according to the word of God. The extent to which one has practiced the word of God and cultivated the heart of God is the standard by which faith will be measured. The scene in today's reading passage tells us that the word of God is the standard to measure our faith. The river is the level of faith to live by the word of God completely, which is the full measure of Christ. Each one will receive judgment of either salvation or death, and either reward or punishment. God measures each one's faith accurately. We can see this from the fact that the messenger of the Lord measured 1,000 cubits before Ezekiel was led through the water. I will explain the meaning in this in the next session. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Philippians 2:12 says, just as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Just as you have always obeyed, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Are you doing this? Are you living each day with fear and trembling? Oh, the Bible says, you fear because you don't love God. That is about those who are in the Spirit. They're in the Spirit, so they love God. They keep all the words of God, so they don't fear God. But until before you go into Spirit, in the first, second, and third level of faith, you always have to be on alert. And if you think you are standing, you might be deceived by Satan anytime. So you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Always being on the alert. Always discerning between the works of Satan and works of goodness, whether it is truth or untruth, whether it is sin or goodness. But those who are in the Spirit, they don't have to do that. They're not even afraid. They don't have to fear. They only have love for God. Therefore, until we get to heaven, we constantly have to work out our salvation. Of course, if you go into Spirit and have faith like pure gold, you don't have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So the Bible says, beloved, to those who are in the Spirit, those who love God so much. Otherwise, there's no, the word beloved is not said. It just says children. And if you read the passage in the context, if it says beloved, it is about those who live by the word of God. But until then, the enemy devil Satan will try to stop the believers who are marching toward heavenly kingdom. They always discuss. They always have a meeting to make the plans to devour even the believers. And if they devoured somebody already, they keep on giving, deceiving them, tempting them. They will try to lead them to the way of death and not the way of salvation. Now, are you on the right path, which is the path of salvation? As Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Only the word of God can become the lamp and light that will lead you to heaven. Therefore, I hope you will listen to the word of God accurately and run your march of faith, relying on the word. Then you will go beyond the measure to receive salvation and quickly reach the full measure of the Christ. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will reach New Jerusalem with perfect faith, receiving glory and rewards in full measure. Please listen and understand each week's messages. Digest them every week so you can be very clear. What are the qualifications for salvation? What kind of sins are forgivable sins and unforgivable sins? And what kind of retributions and punishments will come for what kind of sins? What kind of disasters will come? So I will try to explain to them in as much detail as possible. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become life and faith. With this message on God measures our faith, let us check our faith, whether we are in the first level or second level or third level of faith. Let us, whether we are in the fourth or fifth level of faith, let us be able to measure our faith. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Lord, lay your hands on them. And show your works transcending space and time. Bless all the children of God and GCN viewers and Mom and TV viewers and local sanctuaries and branch churches. Pastor Kyung Hee Kim of Taiwan will pastor's conference on June 13th to 14th. Let all the preparations go well. Pastor Shimamura Katsunori of Japan will have Kyoto Mami Church Handkerchief Crusade with the speaker Pastor Sungi Liu on May 11th. Be with them. Pastor Changmin Lee will have a Handkerchief Crusade in Osaka Mami Church on May 14th. K Walk of United States, severe nausea, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Dursunu Damir, and let of Russia, let him be able to come to Korea and study theology. And Dursunu Surat, let him meet a believing woman, believing lady, and get married. Missionary Che, and have a handkerchief crusade on May 12th. Be with him. And we, Mom in Church, let the church be protected. Let the members receive blessings in their families. And Missionary Ding, let darkness and bad environments go away. Give him the authority of word and let him pastor the church by the power of God. Yu Hui Chun, let the Cha church become a branch church of Manmin Wang Su Jin as after effects of cerebral inflammation. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Kwa Chun Cho has cancer. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Li Wei Ren Dang Fan Gui Fang, let the hair change into black hair. Lun Zhen Gao has diabetes. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yu Wei Chen, the after effects of surgery on the joints on the of the both legs. Zhang Fu Fan, the hyperthyroidism, insomnia. Chun Cha Fu, heart disease and hepatitis. Wu Kung Im has short-sightedness. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Chun Wei, low blood pressure. Zhang Chu Wei Sui Shou Chang, high blood pressure. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yang Lo Wei Xu Cheng Hui, addicted to computer games. Let the darkness go away and let them be released from the addiction. Zhang Mei Chu, high blood pressure. Let the be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And let his house be sold with a good price. Yang Ya Hui Wei Tu Wa, let the wedding go well on May 28th. Let them have a spiritual family. Zhang Ailing, Chun Sen Fun, Chun En Feng, let them be forgiven of all their past sins. Liu Jia Hao, Yi Su Chung Zhou Man Ju Sun, Yi Xu Cheng Feng, Zhang Zhen, give them wisdom to study well and give them spiritual and physical health. Sun Tao, Zhang Yin Gui, Zhang Wei Chang, Zhang En Zhu, Zhang Wei Jing, Xu Xing Guo, Xu Ji Sheng Yang Qi Qi, Zhou Rai Chao, Sai Hong, Zhu Su Zhang Yi Su Li, Yi Xu Da Dan, Sui Yang Su Xin Zhang Wei Fing, give them the blessings in their businesses, let them quickly go into a spirit. Father, thank you. Give them spiritual and physical health. Let the eyes see well. Let them ear, let their ears hear well. Burn all the their internal organs and give them health. All the internal diseases go away. All germs and viruses, skin diseases go away. Be cleansed. High and low blood pressure go away. Diabetes go away. All the fractured bones, fix them. Burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. All the pains go away. Light come. Father, give them peace throughout this week. Give them protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles, and let the drivers make no mistakes. Lord, thank you. And there are many respiratory problems and contagious diseases. Father, drive them all away. All the respiratory diseases, go away. All the pneumonia, go away. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and go away. All the respiratory illness problems, go away. Be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.